Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation.
You were one voice, standing up for what you believe in. You were one voice, standing up for justice. You were Regan.
Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of freedom, health, peace, and sustainability.
Where there was darkness, you were the light, shining so strong and shining so bright. Rest in power, rest in peace. We will keep on fighting, and your memory will go on and on.
The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, nor its management.
Your memory will go on and on.
I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're featuring part two of the interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. We'll continue the discussion about the G7 summit and also food forests. And Dr. Tuttle gives vegan food tips for breakfast, lunch, and supper. In this episode, we're also honoring Regan Russell, the slain Canadian activist who lost her life on Juneteenth last year in a tragic killing. Global events are happening June 14th through the 20th. We're listening to the song One Voice for Regan by Barbara Helen. You can find that on the internet under Toronto PigSafe. It was published on June 15th, 2021.
Get real, move a little closer to the suffering, where you can't help, bear witness to the pain, as the government strengthen their ag-gag laws, Bill 156 criminalizing our cause. Regan's so bright, Regan so strong, the echoes of your courage will live on and on and on and on. Your memory will live on and on and on and on.
Two other announcements. The vegan film, They're Trying to Kill Us, by badass vegan John Lewis, is being featured in the Tribeca Film Festival Juneteenth program. And the second vegan announcement involves the Humane Party, the vegan political party in the USA. The Humane Party's call for a national holiday celebrating the end of human slavery has now gained the unanimous endorsement of Democrat Republican members of the US Senate. This success represents the latest in a line of formerly obscure and extremist Humane Party positions that have enjoyed an explosion of national and international support over the last 4 years. Abolition Day, Juneteenth. Let's hear more of the song One Voice for Regan. Regan Russell was a human rights and animal rights activist. 1955 to 2020. Rest in peace. Rest in power, Regan Russell.
We are one voice, justice for Regan. We are one voice, go vegan for Regan. We are one voice, justice for Regan. We are one voice, go vegan for Regan. We are one voice, standing up for what we believe in. We are one voice, we all stand together here for Regan. There was a killing, but you will live on. Standing up for what's right can never be wrong. Rest in power, we will come in peace. But we will never rest in peace. For your memory will live on and on and on. Your memory will live on and on and on and on. We are one voice,
justice for Regan.
We are one voice,
go vegan for Regan.
We are one voice,
justice for Regan.
We are one voice,
go vegan for Regan.
Your courage will live on and on and on and on. Your memory will live on and on and on and on. Your courage will live on.
That was One Voice for Regan by singer-songwriter Barbara Helen. Regan Russell was tragically killed on Juneteenth, 2020. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us. And now we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Will Tuttle discussing the G7 Summit and more. And I like that you coined the term deep veganism.
This is what I wrote about in the World Peace Diet, that animal agriculture reduces living social beings to lone unit of production in a heartless economic system. That's what animal agriculture does. It reduces living beings to lone units of production in a heartless economic system. And what this thing, this whole pandemic agenda rollout is exactly the same thing. It reduces us as human beings to lone units of production and lone units of consumption in a heartless economic system. And we're wearing a mask takes away our individuality, social distancing takes away our individuality and our solidarity, reduces our ability to express and communicate, and it makes us, like you say, easier to track. And the background of all of this from the very beginning is we all have to have an injection. It's an experimental injection that has nothing to do with anything except introducing these RNA genetic material that creates a protein, which we now have scientists coming out and saying that it was a mistake. This RNA creates a spike protein that's extremely toxic. It's causing blood clotting. It concentrates in the spleen. It spreads from the spleen into the bone marrow, into the lungs, into the heart, into the brain. It causes blood clotting. We have young teenagers now dying of blood clotting, hemorrhaging, thrombosis. All kinds of blood clotting problems are just starting to emerge. It's thousands of times more people dying from this injection than any other one. So from the very beginning, it's been about this injection and about keeping people apart and not allowing them to maintain their natural relations that give meaning to our lives, to reduce us, basically to reduce us to lone units of production. And it's an initiation ritual into, I think, in many ways, what is actually a demonic approach to life, which is based on exploitation and seeing us as basically separate from nature. And nature is a bad force, it's an evil force that viruses and bacteria and water and air and all these things and sunshine are all bad. We have to stay away from and hugs and love. It's all bad. And that's the basic, you know, and singing is bad. You might spray when you're singing, you know, you might make somebody sick because of singing. I mean, singing is glorious. We're singing songs. There's nothing, the studies that have shown that one of the most healing things any group can do is sing together. I mean, you know, it's so interesting that we attack the very things that are human, that are in the best sense, creativity. I mean, who's been hardest hit by all of this? It's been the people who are in drama, who are acting on the stages, musicians, poets. The arts have been completely shut down. Religion and people being able to talk about spirituality and gather together and affirm the belief in something beyond the material level. All of that has been attacked and eroded. And we've been told to be afraid of everything material. This is exactly what animal agriculture does. Animal agriculture is gross materialism. It's reducing cows and pigs and chickens to just, we sell them by the pound, to just weight, just the weight of their physical bodies. That's all that matters. And this is what corporations do. They look at us merely as consumers and products. And when insurance companies decide, I remember, you know, studying this back when I was getting my PhD at Berkeley, insurance companies decide if there's, for example, a nuclear meltdown and a million or 2 million people are killed, you know, how do you quantify the loss of those people? And what they did, they did a cost-benefit analysis, and they measured the value of the iron and other metals in the bodies of the people that died. And so the average worth of a human being was something like 27 cents they came up with. So it would only be around, you know, $2.5-3 million it would be worth. So, you know, what is a human life worth? If we follow these models that are being in the background here as individuals, we find our value being reduced. And that's the boomerang effect. When we do that to animals and we reduce them to matter, sooner or later we get reduced to mere matter ourselves. And that's what's behind all of this. And I think that's what we have to see on every level. So I'm really glad you're bringing this up and see it unfolding also at the level of these G7 summits and also at the level of the Congress in the United States, and at the level of the State House and at the level of the counties. On every level, these pyramids of power are projecting the same thing that is being decided at the higher levels. So that's why it's so important to see the truth of the old saying that we need to think globally but act locally. So the global thing, the G7 summit, we can see that. Okay, now good. Now how do we act locally? We come right together like we're doing now. We talk about this on the radio. Then we go to the store. We don't purchase non-organic or animal-based foods. And we talk to our friends and neighbors. And if everyone obviously takes this to heart, then we can generate from the grassroots a more positive response to these global pressures. The human population in the world right now is under tremendous pressure. We're all being pressured tremendously to fall in line and believe a narrative that is not in our best interest. And I think this is what we've been saying about veganism. We're eating animal foods because we're following a narrative that is not in our best interest. It's not in the best interest of animals, of ecosystems, of future generations, and of hungry people and so forth. And this is the same kind of a rollout. It's just intensifying it even more fully.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle.
Unfortunately, we censor the voices of, first of all, of the animals themselves. The animals themselves are actually, in many ways, I hear them. I've spent evenings camping within earshot of dairy operations, and I've heard the wails and screams and calls of mother cows whose babies have been stolen from them, and they're up all night, 3 o'clock in the morning. I can hear them just these pitiable wailings that they make because their babies have been stolen, the maternal instinct that they feel. But we basically censor that, right? We don't have the radio or TV or newspapers talking about the calls of the cows or the squeals of the pigs or the voices of these animals who are screaming against what's being done to them. And we don't really hear, and we try to avoid pictures of and understanding and making the connections of the terrible suffering of human beings who are starving and going hungry because they've been forced off their land by large corporations, and now they're going hungry, who are using their land to grow corn in Ethiopia to feed cows. They're going to be killed to be fed to people in Brussels. You know, this is what's happening.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle via Skype in Northern California. Dr. Tuttle is the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. at WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, online at WCUW.org. And now we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle.
So all of this censorship has been happening for a long time, and now what we see happening is a more blatant form of censorship where people who are just questioning the official medical narrative or the official governmental narrative about the elections or about anything going against the official narrative is being shut down, is being questioned by so-called fact checkers that are funded by large organizations that have the same agenda as these G7 people, I think, are following. We also have the World Economic Forum, for example, is working hand in hand, I think. I think it's pretty obvious with the G7 and many other, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the health departments of most of the countries, and it goes down, like I said, through these pyramidal structures into the state and county health departments and into the schools. And so we have a system in place that's very efficient, you know, in that way. But it goes back, like you say, to censorship. And when we look back in history and we see tyrannical regimes that were censoring, it's never the case that it was good that they were censoring these people and that they were protecting real truth from, protecting real truth from falsehood. It's always, in hindsight, the opposite. It's always they're protecting a false narrative and they're censoring truthful narratives. It's always that. So why would we think it's different now? Why would we think that, oh, this is different? I've even heard some vegans actually have told me, vegan activists have said, well, I'm glad they're censoring on Facebook because we don't want people to be misled by fake narratives. I mean, how could anyone, a vegan or not, go along with that? I mean, it's like Voltaire said, I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend to my death the right for you to say it. If we don't have the possibility to listen to opposing views, then we don't have the possibility to evolve. You know, evolution comes about through freedom of expression, being able to logically and rationally and intuitively entertain other points of view than just the one point of view that I have. So it's very important that we defend the right of people to express their view and that everyone has their voice, has the capacity to be heard. And yet that's being squashed, as you say, and that's not a good sign. So again, delighted that there are still these liberated spaces where we can speak our truth and other people can consider it, and hopefully that will grow and not shrink in the future.
Yes, and I do believe that with the growth, the vegan tipping point will be reached, and I think that when it does reach the tipping point, that we will start seeing social harmony in action.
Yes, that's really it. I think you're right. It's a critical mass is a wonderful concept, and I think there's a lot of truth to it, that it's just about continuing to spread the word and doing the best we can, each one of us, to, as Gandhi is reported to have said, to be the change ourselves that we would like to see in the world.
And like you have said in the World Peace Diet, that when we sit down to eat non-vegan meals, we are reinforcing and perpetuating basically misogyny, oppression, violence, exploitation, and discrimination, which then boomerangs back into the human arena. And so how important it is, just on the food level, even though we know veganism is a holistic perspective on life, but just to even focus on the food, what can you tell our listeners about Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen?
Right. Well, that's a really good point, Marlene. I think when you refer to Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen, for people who don't know, my wonderful spouse is a woman that I met in Switzerland. Her name is Madeline. And I am the very fortunate recipient of her cuisine and for many years now. We've been married 30 years. And I think that's such an important point, what you're making, that the food is really the foundation of our life, our physical health, also of our cultural health. The primary way that we as human beings celebrate our lives is through sharing food together, and it's our main connection with nature. So It's actually not difficult to transition away from foods that require sexual and physical violence to animals, like dairy products and eggs and animal flesh always do require that. And when we stop doing it and move toward foods that come out of gardens and orchards and fields, especially, like I say, that are organic. So Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen is always organic. Try to just minimize the amount of herbicide, pesticide, fungicide, and chemical residues on your food. That's great for your microbiome. So to really create a way of eating that's based on starch, I think, is a really well-understood, scientifically validated approach. Starch seems to be really the food that we human beings are designed to eat. Our microbiome thrives on polypeptides and on fiber, lots of fiber. So eating as a basic foundation, potatoes, sweet potatoes, grains like corn and millet and oats and wheat and rye and rice and buckwheat and so forth, and pasta, and then lots of vegetables. Greens are really fantastic. Salads are wonderful. Foods that are uncooked, salads, and then with fruits, nuts, and seeds to kind of round it out for protein. We are so fortunate where we live in Northern California. We're able, every year for the last 8 years we've been here, to plant trees. We're just always planting more trees. We now have about 65 fruit and nut trees, and Madeline every morning makes a green smoothie with lots and lots of herbs. We grow all this, you know, oregano and thyme and tarragon and lots of kale and Swiss chard and all that. She's just a whole handful of stuff. Whatever she grabs that morning goes right into our smoothie, along with some. We have a walnut tree, so we have lots of walnuts and almonds. But I think, you know, if you just have some nuts and then some fruits, maybe some apple, an apple, banana, some berries. We have lots of raspberries that we're growing. They're coming really well now, blueberries. And so, you know, you have that kind of food. I mean, it's fantastic. I have to say, you just, you know, feel so great. You know, it's some, or a cereal would be good too. You don't have, there's no reason to have any animal food. And then for lunch, we have oats. Oats are amazing. Oats are like this wonderful food. We have, Madeline has this a channel. We have a YouTube channel, Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen. If you go to Will Tuttle, just look up Will Tuttle or World Peace Diet. You can go to our World Peace Diet website. You can go to Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen. She makes an oat. You just soak oats for a couple of hours. So she does that in the morning. And then by lunchtime, this oat, wonderful oat lunch with oats and chia seeds, really high and everything good, right? Protein, omega-3s, and starch for energy. Starch is a clean burning fuel. And then berries and bananas she adds in. It's just amazing. And then for dinner, just a nice combination of starch, grains, and vegetables. There's an infinite variety. You can make all kinds of things. She just made something yesterday. It was coconut flour and cassava flour. She made a quesadilla and then with zucchini and then a beautiful sauce. I mean, we had a vegan potluck here, actually, where we live in California. And so the whole idea is that we can, and she brought it to that. So the whole idea is there's no end to the creativity and the delicious flavor of these foods. And they're so healthy. It's beyond, I mean, it's like really... I can't even stop jumping up and down here about the, how great the food is, and the health. You know, I mean, and out of that, I can go. Every morning, I go to the lake and take a swim. I do 500 jump ropes with a weighted jump rope. I do 120 push-ups. I mean, I'm 67 years old. I can run around like in my 20s. So I think, you know, it's just the liberation and freedom of having a healthy physical body and to let our actions be expressions of love. That's what veganism is. That's what health is. So when we look out of our eyes and we give thanks for our beautiful life and the beautiful people in our life, then we're creating in our body these hormones that just tell our cells to jump with joy because we have a purpose. And our body is here as an instrument to fulfill a purpose. So remember, we're only here for a few years. We all have a purpose, to discover our purpose and live that purpose, to contribute to the welfare and the creativity and the joy and the freedom on this beautiful earth, and to bequeath to our children a better world because we've been here. When we're doing that, we'll be healthy. We don't have to take a shot. We don't have to run around and be afraid of each other. We're here to question the fear and be a force for love and healing, and food is critically important to that whole thing.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. And with your food forest, how large is that?
It's not very big. I mean, we have a half-acre lot, and it's and half of it is so steep we can't do anything. So it's about a quarter of an acre, and then we have our house. So it's a little less than a quarter of an acre, but we have all that in there, right? 65 fruit trees, a whole, you know, lots of berries. We have 5 raised beds full of vegetables. You don't need a lot of land. You can grow a huge amount of food in a small amount of land. It's a magic. It's just, it's nothing supernatural. It's just the magic of the abundance of this earth.
Yes, when you say the abundance, again, I think of veganism. And then, again, that brings me back to why we're having this conversation at this time about the G7 summit, and that I see that as not a vegan agenda at all. And yet through veganism, and like you said, through each individual's responsibility, we can overcome this slavery that's happening worldwide. Human freedom requires animal liberation.
Absolutely. Very well said.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle, and thank you to your spouse, Madeline, too.
We have to reestablish our identity.
33.
We have to understand who we are and where we fit in the natural order of the world.
This is Reflection by 33.
It's time to reflect.
The people who have created this system, and they perpetuate this system, they are out of balance.
So let's do this.
They have made us out of balance.
At the start of the program, I mentioned the Humane Party, the vegan political party in the USA, and that the Humane Party's call for a national holiday celebrating the end of human slavery, and this information is also in the humaneherald.org. The original purpose behind Abolition Day was twofold: to commemorate the end of human slavery in the United States and the anticipation of the end of all slavery throughout the United States and throughout the world. While the Democrat-Republican version recognizes the first purpose, their version fails to include the latter.
Where there's no escape from our fate, rather than be irate, let's create, let's build. The better world we know is possible. I've got no fear, cause we can overcome any obstacle. I stare all my demons in the face, I'll show you what's possible. I send love from my heart, I'm intuitive, not illogical.
Much thanks to Derek Bros in Houston for sharing this song. Derek is a vegan and an activist, journalist, documentary filmmaker, author, and public speaker.
I'm talking knowledge, not money. I'm trying to feed my mind.
See, we are power. They deal in violence and repression. We are power. They tell us, they want us to believe that we are powerless.
I hope you hear these words from my mind, from my heart, to your ears. Let's make a difference. Let's do something. Open up all 3 of my eyes and fly to the heavens. During my meditation, I see my life in chapters of 7. I connect to my inner child to heal my wounds. I remember those I've lost to dope gone too soon. My life flashes before me, a collage of joy and pain.
After this song, Reflection, we'll be hearing more about Regan Russell, a Canadian activist, human and animal rights activist, was struck and violently killed on June 19th, 2020, by a slaughter truck at a Toronto Pig Save vigil. Regan would have turned 66 this year.
All I know is, when I look in your eyes, I see myself. I'm just a reflection of your impression of my higher self.
In honor of Regan Russell, the Animal Save Movement, a worldwide organization, is asking that you get active and speak up for all oppressed individuals. The worldwide memorial, vigil, and actions have been held and are being held all week, June 14th to June 20th, to commemorate the slain activist and demand justice for her, including actions in Mexico, Uruguay, Italy, Portugal, Canada, USA, New Zealand, and more. Last year, I did a Vegan Nation tribute to Regan Russell. You can hear that in the Vegan Nation archives at vegansradio.com, November 19th, 2020. I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a good day.
And it's going to take millions and billions of us. We are power. We have that power.
You are powerful, you are beautiful, you are free.